It's an industry that I generally love. I have a passion for. I eat, sleep, I live for fitness.
No, you need to be obsessed. You need to wake up, think about it. You need to go to bed, think about your clients, think about your progress, think about what you can do better.
Genuinely, like, just be like patient and take your time. Like that is like, you've got to take it all in the right steps. You've got to nail what you do in person before you go online.
I don't like to talk about fear. The fears is usually something that makes your worries real.
You are listening to the Coaching Ignited Show, where we bring you stories and insights from coaches, fitness professionals, and industry experts to help you expand your business and reach your goals. If you're a new listener, thanks for joining us. My name is Alex Povey. You can subscribe to the podcast on all your favorite apps, including Spotify and iTunes. The Coaching Ignited movement is on a mission to help coaches and personal trainers increase their sales and reach their full potential. If you wanted to find out more, please head over to coachingignited.com. And if you wanted to connect with us on social media, all the details can be found in the show notes. Now let's get into today's show.
So on this episode of the podcast, I am very pleased to announce that we've got Tommy Gentleman, an entrepreneur, speaker, and coach, and just an all-round legend. And he's the founder of the Super Self Summit and Retreat. He's also a gym owner. He hosts his own podcast called Tommy G Talks. He's a professional speaker, and he coaches people and teams to achieve their highest levels of productivity, positivity, and purpose. And on this episode, we get into some really cool topics about life, about business, about coaching, and about happiness. And it was such a pleasure having him on the show. I really can't wait for you to get stuck into this one. So as always, let me know your thoughts and I'll see you on the other side. Welcome to the show, Tommy. It's great to have you here, buddy. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for being here. First of all, would like to just compliment you on the way this happened. You were the first person that I know of to send an audio file via Instagram direct message. And it was that caught my attention when I first said it, because we weren't connected before that. And when I saw it, I was like, what's this? And I pressed it and it was a relatively new feature. And then hearing your voice and I thought, you know what, fair play. Let's get something going here. Turns out we've probably got a lot in common, but we haven't really had much of a chat. So I'm looking forward to seeing what happens here.
Love that, man. You got to be bold sometimes. And I love to jump on the back of new features. And it's nice to be able to give someone a personal touch, right? Anyone can send a message. And that's kind of why I wanted to do it. And just show you how much I really did want to get you on the podcast. So great to connect. I really appreciate you being here. There's lots of stuff that we can talk about. You're an award-winning entrepreneur, the founder of Super Self Summit. You've got a gym. You host a podcast. Like, you're a professional speaker. Where do we start? How did it start for you? How did you get into all this stuff?
It was year 10. And so it all happened at the same kind of time. The seed was planted in year 10. Would have been like 14, maybe 15. And it was like this PE course I took, which was a sports like leader thing. And I remember taking this circuit and the PE teacher just pulled me to the side and went, you're really good at this. He said, you should consider doing something like this when you're older. And my mum's in the fitness industry. She's been in the fitness industry for over 30 years, but it never really clicked that I could do something. At the same kind of time, they had the whole, hey, who wants to speak at the end of year assembly thing? And I put my hand up to talk about this trip we had to Germany. And I really enjoyed speaking, you know, in front of all the other students. And I guess a couple of seeds were planted back then, which have just grown into what it is now. And it's been a, 15, 16 year journey since. A lot's happened, a lot of really exciting, cool stuff, a lot of tough stuff as well, which I'm sure anyone who's done anything has had their fair share. But yeah, it's been awesome. I love what I do.
So you've got a gym, right, which you're in now. How did that come to?
Indeed.
How did that start? Where did that idea come from? And why? Why did you want to open a gym?
At the beginning, it was a fantasy. I never thought I'd be able to. And like being in the fitness industry from professionally since the age of, I think, 18, just about 18, it was like, oh, imagine, you know, you think ahead. You're like, imagine what it would be like to have your own place. And probably a lot of your listeners now are thinking that there's something that they'd like to do. Now, I'm not like for a lot blowing smoke up my own arse here, but when I opened the PT studio, which opened in 2009, there wasn't PT studios. They just, that didn't it wasn't a normal thing. Now it's very, it's accessible for a trainer or a group of trainers to go and open their own facility. The gym seemed like a million miles away. Even though I'd done the PT studio, I thought there's no way I'm going to be able to do that. I didn't know anything about like the economy of business in that scale. I didn't really understand like the commitments financially and how to organize the thing itself. But I kind of just thought, I'm just going to go for it. And I know it sounds like a really kind of sort of watered down answer, but I just thought, you know, I'd love to do that. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm just going to go for it. And I just sort of went one step at a time and kept doing that for a year. And before I knew it, I was holding the keys to the gym. Now, it was really hard. It was a complicated, hard process that if I thought about doing it now at 30 years old, I'd probably consider it or not do it, not jump straight in. I was so young and naive. I thought, you know, I'm just going to go for this. And it worked out in the end.
I fucking love that because it's kind of like the law of attraction, right? You can think, you can think, you can think, you can think. But unless you actually do and take action and just go for it, like you said,
yeah,
nothing ever happens, right? And all you did was get the balls and just do it. And it happened and you've created what you've created. What were the challenges when you first started setting up? Because you said it was hard, right? Well, what were the challenges?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, we had to find a premises. And I kind of knew what I wanted to create. I knew what the vision was and I knew what it would feel like, but I didn't know what it would look like. And so when we found this unit that seemed to be perfect, there were then hoops to jump through regarding like change of use, which you should absolutely do. Like anyone who goes in and starts a PT studio or a fitness facility and they don't play by the rules, I've got no time for you at all. Because of how long this took me and how stressful it was. And, you know, always doing things properly. Had to get change of use on the unit. Things like business rates, which seems like a simple thing, but I didn't know about business rates. I just thought you paid your rent and that was it. And all of a sudden the council are saying, right, you owe us 12 grand. I'm like, oh, okay. So I was really naive to those sorts of things. We also had like the music licenses that we had to pay for that they came over and said, oh, by the way, you should have paid these last year as well. So here's a double whammy. And these are all things that at this present time in my life, I'm proud of because we pay our way. The business is set up to be legit and it's a, you know, fully fledged gym. We serve health and fitness in the local community and we do it properly. And we, you know, we're good at it. We've got great people here. But the biggest challenge of all was being 21 years old and having this sudden realization that most people, I had funding that was there for me. My granddad said he was going to give me some money. And literally within the process of opening the gym, he passed away. So it was like blessed with the money, but didn't kind of expect it to happen that way. So I was like ready to go to the banks. I was ready to do everything that way. I put my own money in and then I put my inheritance money in. And I had this moment, Alex, where I was like, do you know what? I could put this on a house and I could buy a decent car and I could set myself up in a really safe and logical way here for my future. But then I was like, but the long-term plan, if this gym works, then in 10 years time, I'll be in a way better place. I'll have a whole world of opportunities in front of me and I'll still be able to put a deposit on a house. I'll be able to get a bigger, better, oh, not necessarily bigger, but a better house. Mm-hmm. I'll be able to get, you know, a more comfortable living environment. So the hardest thing was being able to look at, you know, the money that I had to pay. I also had to sign myself as a guarantor. So, you know, the estate agent that was dealing with it, then they're looking at me at 21 and they're going, well, you've got no experience. You don't know your ass from your elbow in business. So why should we trust you, mate, with this lease? And they made me sign a form that basically said, should anything happen, they come to me personally. And they find whatever they can find in my personal life to take that value, that money back. And I think it's very easy to think, oh, fine, yeah, set up a gym, blah, blah, blah. But there was everything on the line. And the hardest thing was being able to just jump into that, knowing that that could all go very wrong.
Where does that longer term vision come from? So you mentioned about you could have taken that money, you could have used it, but you had a longer term vision. Where does that come from?
I've always been able to think like that since I was very young. I was able to see things objectively and plan my position in space and time. And that's quite a strange sort of deep answer, but I've always been able to do that. I also think that the catalyst of that income and the way that it all worked out, my granddad was he used to take risks in business. He did well. He came out of the army as an officer and fought in the Korean War and like he did all that. And then he started a business. And I just thought, you know, if I've had this money through courage, this money has come to me through courage. Okay. The man who I used to look up to so much and, you know, still do, he made his life. He got his life to a position where he was able to give his grandson some of the money that he earned through courage. If I was going to like play it safe with that money and not use courage, then I thought maybe that, you know, that's not the way it's supposed to work out with this sort of opportunity. So yeah, I think I was in the right place, the right frame of mind, had the right support around me to make it happen. I'm very glad it did.
Mm, that's awesome. Is there sort of like books, resources, mentors that you've used to get where you are now? Or have you figured this stuff out on your own?
Yeah, look, I wouldn't for a start say that I've thought about all this on my own and just did it on my own and, you know, not had any external influence or help. I've always had a coach, I've always had a mentor, I've always had people, where, even if it's like a friend in the family who, you know, you see him a few times at like parties and then you get talking, you're like, actually, that's really interesting. Like you meet for coffee and then it builds and grows from there. I've had plenty of people in my life that are like that. It's really essential. It's an essential ingredient for success, I believe. But also looking into, I had a lot to learn. So I had to look into the back end of the business, had to learn my finances, had to understand how to manage like forecasts and predictions and understand the ins and outs and the flow of cash within the business. So there aren't any specific books I can say, yeah, that one. Just always be reading, always be learning. There's two positions. There's, you know, it's like being in a go-kart, you know, you've either got your foot on the accelerator or you've got your foot on the brake, one or the other. And I think if you're always reading, then that suggests that you're always going to move forwards as long as you apply that knowledge.
Yeah. Are you very much an all-in type of guy? So when you're doing something, it's like all chips in. I'm like all in on this. It's not in or out. Is that how you play the game?
Yeah. I'm itching to say no, because I'd rather be a little bit more level-headed, but I am. I get excited. I get really excited when I feel opportunity and then I connect it with my core values of being here and being blessed to be here and having the opportunity of life. That's what kicks in. And I'm like, boom, I'm there. You know, as soon as it starts, like, it's really hard to pull me away from that.
I was listening to your podcast. Very clear, very like precise, very, I don't know, like the way you articulate things, it just seems that you've got so much clarity. Where does that clarity come from? The delivery?
Time, practice, and being in it for a long time. I mean, we're in a really exciting place in space and time right now, mate, because we can spread our message like we are now through podcasts, through video. And the end user, the person who's receiving this information, has also got a lot of other people attempting to give them similar information. But what I find now is, like, I could have been saying the stuff I'm saying now 8 years ago, but it wouldn't have been, there would be no substance to it. There'd be no like depth to it. It'd be very much like a level where I hadn't figured it out myself yet. So just by being in it for day after day after day, it's given me that clarity because I know it inside out. It's like if I was to sink 10 pints and spin around 20 times and like you just distract me with anything you want, I'd still be able to do it because it's just in there now. It's just cemented. So that's what gives me the ability to do that. I think the only other person that could probably do it in a similar way is someone who was really good at acting, you know, but that's not the case. I've been here pushing myself for pretty much a decade. It's just not, it wasn't as fashionable 8 to 10 years ago. I had a podcast like going on at the same time, but it wasn't the right time. It wasn't culturally relevant. So I'm very grateful that I can do this now and share things with you and other people that I speak to on similar platforms. and be able to, you know, jam with people to help spread the message, because we can. And hopefully the trainers out there, especially like the PTs that are listening to this, you guys have to stay focused. There's so many distractions out there. And like, one thing that I would really want to get across today, if you are a PT, especially if you're new, is please just stick to the basics before you try and get too fancy with doing online courses and online plans. And I think sometimes we put these things in the link in our bio and all that. I think sometimes we do these things because we feel like we need to, because we're comparing ourselves to people, our peers in the industry. But that's not who it's about. It's about the person who's there at home right now, looking in the mirror, pinching their belly fat, going, I just need help. You know, they're the ones that you'll want to be able to connect with, and the ones that are local to you, especially, because that's where your bread and butter money comes from.
Mm. Yeah, I totally agree. What is your core message then? So how do you live your life, and what is it that you're always trying to get across to people? Because you mix in all these circles, you've got your training company, your Super Self Summit and retreats. Like, what is the message? What is your core thing that you're always trying to get across to people?
Just to hit the highest possible potential within yourself. And that means in health, that means in your relationships, that means in your career, everything. And what we do is we get bogged down with stress and distraction, and then our self-confidence starts to diminish, and we find ourselves in this position where we feel like there's more. We feel like we can do more, but for whatever reason, we're scared to. We're a bit caged towards things. We don't trust as much. We don't use our imagination as much. So my core message is, I call it Super Self, but that's just an arrangement of letters. What it stands for is to do more to become a better individual. Now, better is defined by the person, but I know that when people are that version of themselves, they're a better mum, they're a better dad, they're a better sister, they're a better brother, they're a better friend, they're a better neighbor, better colleague, better lover, and all these things, all these roles that we play, it creates a ripple effect. The more people that are doing this, and we do this with what we do, and the trainers listen to this, do that every single day, day in, day out, we're changing the amount of positive energy in the world. So like, we've got a choice, and that's what we're doing because we feel passionate about it, which is an amazing thing. Now, that's where I come from, and that's probably the most sort of convoluted way of explaining it that I've ever done. But I felt that I needed to kind of elaborate it differently, because I think it's very easy for me to say, like, you know, people to be fitter and healthier and more confident and happy. But I think it's more than that. It's accumulation of everything. And it all comes out when you hit that potential that you've got. Every single person has it. Every single person has a potential, but it gets suppressed by stress and everyday stuff. And a human brain remembers pain. So if someone says something one day, or you're picked on at school, or you like fucked up once, it stops you from doing similar things again, which is where I come in, where other people come in to say, look, you can do it. This is how.
Love it. So how did the Super Self Summit come about, and what happens at these events? If I was coming to the event, what experience would I receive at these events?
Good question. Yeah, we do 2 days of personal development. It's all centered around health and well-being. It's a multi-speaker event. So you'll hear from me like 3 or 4 times throughout the weekend on stage. We'll also have different professionals from different lines of nutrition, exercise, mindset, personal development. Like, we've had in the last 3 events, we have people like Ben Coomber. So he's been on. He's actually coming back again in June. We have had Rhiannon Lambert, who's a really high regarded nutritionist, Mel Wells, Callum Best. So we've had some people who are relatively well known. And we also got some great ground level coaches that are just doing their best every day, day in, day out, to help people to live that healthier and happier life. The actual 2-day event itself, it's all in one room. So there's one stage, there's a timetable of speakers, everyone's really engrossed in it, immersed in the process. And as a result, when they leave, they become inspired, they go back to their everyday life with a few new ideas, and we can start that ripple effect. The next one's in June, and then hopefully we'll do one at the end of the year as well. But it's getting bigger and bigger. It all started last year, and it's kind of just taken off from there.
Yeah, it sounds amazing. You've got some awesome guests there. Have you always wanted to be on stage speaking?
I've always wanted to make a difference, and it's just that the stage is the place. It's the facilitator of that purpose. I've always enjoyed creating an emotional shift in people. I'd do that face to face. I'd do that to two people. I would do that to 200, 2,000. Doesn't matter. It honestly doesn't matter. But the stage itself isn't the thing for me. Of course, everyone enjoys that, and if it's in you and you have that sort of performance side of things, then you should obviously embrace it, and that's exciting, it's fun, but it's not the main reason why I enjoy being on stage.
So what's the real reason? What made you create the event so that you could have this loud voice? What's in your core that makes you want to do this?
I honestly think it's my role to play in this life that you and I are sharing right now, and you listening to this. I feel highly blessed, highly grateful to be alive now with the brain that I have and the way that I can see and do things within my areas of passion have allowed me to create this. Like, if I die now, Alex, I'm quite happy with that. I'm quite happy with the fact that I've done as much as I can really in the last decade since becoming aware of it. I would be a little bit annoyed, obviously, if I could float away from my body and be like, oh, I want to play a bit longer. But I wouldn't be regretful, because it's just there inside my heart. And I tell you what, if I'd have said no to the gym 8 years ago, then I fuck knows where I'd be now. I'd be probably very depressed. I'd be probably thinking, I should have done something different with my life. I'm grateful that I have taken that step and continue to. That's why I'm here. It just feels like the things that excite me are that. So I'm trying to make this useful for the listener now. There are things that excite all of us. And if you're listening to this now and you've got something of interest that you just love, it just excites you, whether it's something small or something obvious and bigger, you have to follow that, because probably the reason why you're excited about it is because you're supposed to go and do that. There's these little signs, these little clues of, you know, what we're supposed to do. And everyone that lives with a purpose has the most exciting time.
You gave me goosebumps a minute ago, Tommy, when you said that even if you stopped now, that you'd still be satisfied. And that's really a good barometer of a good life, right? If you can go, actually, if I checked out now, I'll still be satisfied with what I've done. But I can imagine you want to do way more. I can imagine you're probably just getting into your stride realistically, right? And there's loads of other stuff that you want to do. What does that look like? What's on the agenda? What do you want to do next?
I've got plans of what I'd like to do objectively. I want to grow the Super Self Summit. We want to keep pushing things forward here in the local community with the gym. I would like to increase the amount of work that I can do with other coaches, with other people as well, with their personal development journey. The thing is, the difference now, I had a bit of a learning experience last year. I went through a bit of a spiritual evolution. And I think we're all capable of a certain amount of our bandwidth we can spend on constructing things. For example, the podcast, right? Mm-hmm. Your podcast here, you've constructed this. Yes, it fits in with part of your plan, and it has a sequence that leads to other things. And I'm sure you've thought about that and mapped it out. The thing about how I feel about these things now is that I've got this measurement of happiness, which is just sort of simmering up. It might go up and down like the stock market, you know, every couple of days, it might go down a bit, then up a bit. Now I will never let that go down. So it doesn't matter what my things are doing around me. It doesn't matter what my things are doing. If my happiness is high, I'm cool with it. If it goes down because I'm spending too much time and energy on the things, then I've fucked up. I've ruined it. Because that's not what it's about. It's not about what I create. It's not about it's not about the gym. It's not about the event. It's not about all that. That's helped me be where I am in terms of my quality of life and my happiness. But it doesn't mean it has to continue to, that doesn't need to grow. The happiness needs to stay high. If the other parts grow in sync with that, then that's fine. I'm always going to be capable. People like you and I and people listening to this now, we're always going to be capable when we apply ourselves of creating things. But it's when the creation or the running of the things contradict the happiness scale, it's when we get it wrong. I don't want to get it wrong. So I can't answer that question with an actual, yeah, I want to do that and have 100 this and da, da, da. I just want to like keep that happiness high and put my energy into stuff that works.
I love that.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. To me, it's like, it makes perfect sense because everything that we ever do is for that one reason of being happy anyway.
Exactly.
And you don't need more of this, more of that. And you don't need to achieve this or achieve that unless it's going to make you happy, right? But yeah, yeah, that makes perfect sense. And I think people are trying to chase or become or reach happiness when actually you can a lot of the time decide to be happy.
Yeah.
And it's not as far away as you think, right? It's a conscious choice sometimes. Obviously, environment, your financial stability, your health are going to have an effect on those things. But how the fuck do you maintain that happiness then without always wanting to consume, grow, and progress? Because those things add happiness, right? So how do we stay? How do we keep at this point, this happiness level?
Oh, well, that is the golden question. I mean, it's all about internal conversations. It's about knowing really what it is that you're doing and why. It's about understanding what you can compromise on and what you can't. And I think sometimes it takes us to have a real significant win to actually be able to question it. Like the second Super Self Summit was my big move. I was like, this is it. This is who I've been building. Like, this is the identity that I've been building for 10 years. I want to be this guy. There's a video of me in 2011. I'm talking about starting the gym and I'm like, oh, I'm scared because of the money. And like, it's a big thing and it's a scary move. But I'm like, I want to do the gym. And then I want to be a coach and a speaker after that. I actually said that in 2011. So I've been building to this point for a long time. And now I'm like, oh, I've done it. And actually I looked around me and was like, I don't feel very good. I don't know why. I've been building to this for so long. Why don't I feel good? I've just filled the room. I've just had 100 people for 2 days. I've just like made this massive statement to the industry and da, da, da. And I was like, that's why. Because I was doing it to prove something. I was doing it to make a massive statement to the industry. And I'm like, that's fucked up. That's not why you should be doing it. And although it was only 3% maybe off where I should have been, or 3 degrees out, when you're playing at that level and you do something that you've always wanted to do, and then all of a sudden you're like, nah, I feel really weird. I had to go camping on my own. Like, honestly, I had to go in a tent and go camping on my own. I felt so weird. I felt so lost and confused. I'm like, I've done it. By definition, I should be fucking happy right now, but I'm not. So I had to figure out what it was, what was missing. And I see a lot of PTs that do this. A lot of PTs, they've always wanted to be a PT. It's like their dream. Maybe they like 5 years ago saw their mate do it and they're like, fucking hell, I wish I could do that. And then one day they had the nuts to go and hand their notice in and go and qualify and be a PT. Then 3 years in, they're like, hang on. So I think like sometimes we do pin it on a thing, but it's not about that. It's about how we feel about it. And when we do things for the real right reasons, that's when we continue to be happy. I wasn't doing it for the right reason. There's no other way to explain it.
Did you enjoy the process more than the destination?
I did enjoy the process because it continued. The destination wasn't the destination. I thought it was, and it sent me into this.
No, because it wasn't the destination that you thought it was going to be, right? And when you got there, you were like, oh, is this it? It's kind of like Gary Vee buying the New York Jets, right? He talks about it, but he's scared about achieving it because he'll feel like he's accomplished his life's work. And then what the fuck will he do next?
Yeah.
It's kind of like Tyson Fury. Tyson Fury beat Klitschko. And then look what happened to Tyson Fury. Mentally fucked for 3 years, right? So it's almost like when you get to a certain point that you think you want to get to, it's also dangerous if you can't see beyond that point, right?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it, like with those examples you just shared, which is a really good example, both of them, I think there's always a problem, always a red flag when you're doing something because you're trying to prove something.
Mm.
Yeah. So when you think, you know, I need to show everyone that I'm capable or what I can do, I think that's a motivational message. Like, we all get fired up on that, don't we? Like, go show them what you can do. But actually, deep down, that's never really a good thing because it still puts the power in other people. It puts the level of grandeur in the eyes of other people. I'm going to do it to show you, to prove to the market, to prove to the industry, to prove to the world. It doesn't matter who. You prove to most people, it boils down to maybe a few people that you're trying to prove to, like, please and prove something to. But it's never a winning formula because it's not in here. It's not inside. It's outside.
Yeah, that's a good one to just think about, isn't it, for a second. And you can get lost in that external dream because it's an external outcome, isn't it? It's not an internal one. Like you said, you're doing it for the outside world, not the internal one, which is the most important. So your podcast, you've rebranded it. Let's talk about yours.
Yes.
Tommy G podcast.
That's right.
Why did you change the name of it? And what's it all about now? Like, what's the messaging?
Yeah, I changed the name because I felt like I'd evolved and I wanted to talk true to the nature of my everyday life. So previously, I would have focused more on health and positivity, a bit of motivation, but actually I understand those topics much deeper now. And I feel like I can share much more and I can interview different people and also bring in business into the mix as well, because I'm passionate about business. I think maybe I shied away from it because I didn't want people to think, again, other people didn't want people to think, oh, you know, who are you to talk about that? Or I'm like, actually, you know what? I just enjoy like the topics of leadership. I enjoy the topics of marketing and sales and language communication. So I want to be able to embrace that and give that to my audience. If people don't want to listen to that episode, that's fine. They can skip along and there'll be something else about health and mindset. So it's a way that I can really take all of the efforts that I make to produce content and put them all into the podcast. So any video that I make, I can strip the audio down. I can put it into the podcast now. You know, no questions asked. It's just me. That's why it's called Tommy G Talks now, because it's a representation of everything I do and everything that I'm about, rather than trying again, just like play the game and call it. It used to be called the Super Self Podcast, but it wasn't like, it worked for the time that I had it for, but I felt like now it was time to change it. And rather than just starting again and losing all the traction, I just rebranded it. And it's nice. You know, I feel like it's a new canvas to create on, which is exciting.
Yeah, it's fresh. I listened to the, think you published the first one under the new branding.
Yes.
And yeah, really good. Guys, if you're listening to this, go check it out. It's very nourishing. That's how I describe it.
Oh, thank you.
It was it was like a very nourishing message, right? Very clear, very concise, very easy to digest. And I really liked that.
Thank you.
I want to ask you about last year, because I like to reflect at the end of each year rather than just plan ahead, which most people do, right? They get to the end of the year, they draw a line through last year, and then they go, okay, I've got a fresh year. But then they make the same mistakes, or they just forget about the last one and it just gets buried in the dust. But I think the year that you've just been through is probably the most important one, because you can really reflect on some of the things that didn't go so well to make sure that you don't make those same mistakes going into the next one. What are some of the big lessons that you had from last year, good or bad? Some of the things you've learned, or some of the things that you've taken with you to make you better this year?
So I can give you two. One that I'm going to be taking with me every single day of my life and doing my best to adhere to. I'm not perfect. No one is. So some days I miss the ball on this. I'm doing my best and I'll continue to do my best and improve the skill. That's to speak when I feel that little pull of coincidence. It served me so well last year. And this is something that I learned going through a bit of a spiritual evolution, as I said earlier in the podcast. For example, if someone says something to me or I overhear something, then I used to be like, oh no, don't get involved, leave it. But I've noticed that when I hear it and I think, oh, that's weird, because I was just thinking about that, or I was just over there, or to just speak it and be like, hey, did you just say that you were doing this? I've just literally been over there and I saw this thing and I don't know, it might help. Oh, thanks. And that, those moments there create amazing twists and turns in life. And knowing that you can do that, but you're shutting it off because you're scared or I don't want to get involved or, oh, no, I don't want, and having these negative opinions about what could happen. There's something that I've promised myself to do because it served me really well last year. Now, on the flip side, something that I've learned that I'm going to stop doing is worrying about a negative opinion on my art. So I consider content creation art now, right? I'm like, you and I are modern day artists. We're creating content and it's just video or it's just audio. No, it's not. It's more than that. You can be so creative and use your words in a real profound way these days that it's art. And no one's ever been the best artist that they could be without having a few critics. And I think I've maybe played it safe a bit too long. I wouldn't have talked about the sort of things I've talked about with you today to no offense, but someone I don't really know. That could now go and send this, like, you could frame this anyhow, any way, it's yours. You could say, hey, listen to the guy that opened a gym that's like now talking about this, what a weirdo. You could do that. But I trust that the art will come out stronger if and when I don't care about that. So I guess it's the same as a PT not really caring if their post gets criticized on social media, or not really caring if the other trainer across the gym thinks it's crap or whatever. It doesn't matter. If it's you, it's you. It's art. Just gotta stick to it. So I hope that answers the question. I think those two rules will serve me very well this year. It feels right.
Fucking love it.
Good. I'm glad.
Honestly, because that was one of the big things for me last year. Was what you said. The second point is letting go of people's opinions as well. And a big thing that helped me was realizing that most of the time they don't really give a fuck about me anyway. They care about themselves, but we hold ourselves in such high regard and think everyone's thinking about all our posts and all our content and critiquing it and giving them 1-star or 5-star ratings. But in reality, they're really thinking about themselves most of the time. But if you just keep showing up and doing what you believe in and you do it consistently and you keep improving and putting stuff out there, then people will see the good side of what you're doing as well. And some people will disagree with what you say, but I think it's just as important to be a bit polarizing because there's no point being in the middle.
Nope.
You either be one side or the other and stick to it and don't try and seek acceptance from everyone because you'll just end up being average anyway.
Mate, that's massive. And do you know what, Alex? There's going to be a sort of second level to that what you're saying that's going to have to come out, because the danger now is that it's becoming such a slogan that it's up to people like you and I to actually set an example. It's very easy for people to hear the words, don't worry about what other people think. All right, cool, I won't. But to actually adopt that as a philosophy, it needs people to set an example. And so I'm promising myself to continue that. I'm not going to play that middle game any longer. And I know that's not what you're going to be doing either. I know that you're going to be doing this. And that's important because even if you and I have 2 listeners, we're still making a difference. And if we can set an example, it's more powerful.
100%. And to anyone listening that's thinking about putting their message out there and they're not comfortable about doing it, you're not going to feel comfortable when you get started. I'm sure Tommy will agree. When you first started putting a camera in front of your face and you started speaking into it, you felt like an idiot and you felt stupid. And you felt, what am I doing? I'll retake it. Get the perfect lighting. And only then will I post it. But what you realize is, like everything else in life, your tolerance changes. So the more you do it, the easier it gets. And I'm sure now you can literally go one take, post, close the phone, push it out to your 10,000 followers and not even check it, right? Maybe you'll come back late and you'll see who's viewed it and see if there's any comments. But I think your tolerance level to certain things like that change as well. So for people who are a bit scared about putting themselves on the line, it will get easier, but you just got to start. Just like every single other thing you ever did in your life since birth. Do more and it gets easier.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely, mate. Yeah. That there'll be that kid out there though, like the equivalent of the kid at school. There'll be, it would just be an adult format probably that will be a friend of yours that will go, what the fuck was that?
Yeah.
Right. It's going to happen. Get over it. Because people don't like to see different stuff. They like to know, they like to predict. And when you start changing the way that you behave, especially if you're going from that sort of dormant content contributor to someone who starts posting regularly, all your friends are going to have a little bit of an in to take the piss out of you. It's going to happen, right? But you can't, if you literally let it fall down at that first hurdle, then man, like that's such a shame, because they'll soon get bored. Like they'll just drop it, or you just got to get over it and just keep doing it, because there's people out there that need it. And that's the thing, that outweighs anything. It's the woman or the man out there that really needs it. They need to see your face and hear your voice today. That really is like a real thing. There's people out there that need our help as coaches and trainers and instructors, you know. Can't let our friend taking the piss stop us from helping people.
No, there's much bigger things to worry about. So we'll wrap it up there. This has been an absolutely phenomenal show. We got deep at the end there. Loved it. Absolutely loved it. Where can people find more about you, your events? How can they find out about Tommy G?
Yeah, I think Tommy Gentleman on any social media, it's pretty easy to find me. I'm just at Tommy Gentleman, literally. For the event, it's superselfsummit.com specifically. And I'm always pretty active on Instagram, especially these days. So anything, questions or whatever, just ping me. I always check them.
Wicked. Thank you so much. I really appreciate your time. Feel blessed, feel grateful to have you on the show. And I hope you have an amazing 2019. I'm sure you're going to absolutely crush it.
Thank you, mate. And I think just to add, I really appreciate you having me on. I'm always slightly uncomfortable with these things when I'm, because I'm usually doing the interviewing. I really enjoyed this conversation. So thank you. Thought you asked great questions. And it was nice to be able to go to different places. I wasn't really sure what to expect, but I've really enjoyed it. And if you're listening to this at the moment and you know you're out there and you're doing your thing, keep doing it, because the harder it gets for everyone, the more valuable you become.
Love it. We'll leave it there, guys. Thank you so much. Speak soon, Tommy.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning into the show. I hope you enjoyed it, guys. If you did, head over to your favorite app and leave us a short review. I'd really appreciate that. And if you wanted to learn more about our products and services, head over to coachingignited.com. And if you wanted an awesome website built for your coaching business, head over to our partner company, savectormedia.com. That's all from me. See you soon.